Yeah, Father, we just may our hearts be open and receptive to what you want to say, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There you go. Go for
it. That water back. Thank you. I like it here. Well, that's the best response I didn't expect. No one said a word. I do like it here. In fact, like is a bit like a fresh cream cake. So let's say it's brilliant here. It is. It is. My loves. Chris and I live up 250 miles away near Lancaster. They speak funny, them northerners, don't they? Was there a northerner here that was talking earlier? Yeah. Eelass. Oh, him. Oh, my life. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's, yeah. So I'm very pleased to talk very Bristol or very West Country, my love. So I may lapse into it. Is that all right? So you better understand me, because they don't up there, you know. Okay, it's a pleasure and a privilege to be here. I left Chris at home. She is vulnerable to this virus at the moment. We've worked it out. She's had MS for 49 years, and it's been what I'd call a long and winding road. I won't sing it to you, but that's how it's been. And she is vulnerable with various issues in her life. So we're just being cautious, sensitive, and sensible, as well as trusting God in Psalm 91. There's a real mix there. I don't want to be foolish. And she had the collywobbles about me coming this weekend, but I think us that are over a certain age might be forced to stay at home a bit more in the next few months. So there it is. It's a thing, isn't it? But this is an opportunity, isn't it? Yeah. Because perfect love casts out. Yeah, so, I mean, you can't get much love than perfect from God. The unconditional love is classic, isn't it? Yeah, so I'm going to just speak to some people a minute. Where's that? What was her name again? Alicia. But, yeah. When I didn't know your name, well, I've forgotten it. But if you say Elisha fast, it reminds me of Elisha, you see. And what he did that touches my heart, notwithstanding Elisha, there was a double anointing on him. And you've got the expanding anointing of the Spirit. What blessed me was that when Jehoshaphat and the others wanted a prophet, they couldn't find one. And somebody said, "Here," they said. We knows one, and he's the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah. There's something about you with a servant heart. The more you pour water on, the anointing will grow, and Elisha will mean a lot more. Elisha. I think I've finished. If I get any more, I'll interrupt myself. That lady there in the greeny, whitey thing, that one, her, I think you're a firecracker, really. I really do. And it's like the blue touch paper is lit and suddenly there's explosions all over the place, right? which is to me moving in victory, even though your circumstances have not seemed like that or been interpreted like that from others. But you've got a heart that lives in victory. And then there'll be a period of sort of stillness and silence and solitude. That's godly, by the way. And then you'll get lit again, and off you go. So there's something prophetic about that, which I think God wants to develop in you. That's not bad for starters, is it? What's her name? And not tonight. Josie. Well, Joe, go. Go, Joe, go. It's there. But you're sensitive enough to hear the heart of God, and you'll know when the blue touch paper is lit. So there was something else I was going to say, I've forgotten. Isn't it funny? Oh, I know. So here I am, living up north, and our granddaughter, who's now 23, imagine that, 23, Ron's granddaughter, and Makaziwe is her name. She was named after Mandela's, one of Mandela's daughters. You don't want to know that, that's trivia. And she's about 8, and we planted some sunflowers. Chuck the seed in, and bust my boots within 10 seconds. They're about 6 foot tall. They grow quick, don't they? And the stem, call it the stem, that long thing, it's strong and powerful. And then you get this great big head of colour and beauty, more like yellow and probably a few other colours, is that right? And multitudes of seeds within. It really does seed others in a most wonderful way. And I can picture this now with Mackie down there and this great thing up here. And the colours are fantastic. Aren't they, Karen Parker? Because it's you. Because it's you. There's something about Karen that I think has touched my heart about the way she is in growing in God. Because it's years, I see a transformed woman. I see a woman, Dave. Stop hiding yourself. I see a woman that is got an anointing of Barnabas. If you want to get encouraged, just look at her. Talk to her. There's something about it, but you're like this sunflower, and you've got the ability to disciple people without knowing it in the way you just seed your joy, your heart response, and all of that. And even when the issues, dark issues sort of come, you still push through. And I want to honor her, because if anyone's a leader, it's her. And I'm glad that we got women leaders in these days, aren't you? Because some places don't like it. Well, they don't like it up them. That's their problem, isn't it? But I went into Dad's army then, if you understood. But I just want to honor you. Dave, you need her. Because the lady has wisdom. And sometimes you need a bit of a slap. In the spirit. Okay, that's that. I've realized who it is. There's somebody in here that is a shadow boxer. And I want to call him Frank, but his name's Bruno. Did you get that? Yeah. Yeah, so low budget, isn't it? Where is he? Oh, there he is. Yeah. You think shadow boxing, what's that all about? Here is a worshiping warrior. And what he does with his worship, and it's so prophetic. There's another one. There's something about a prophetic church here, Dave. Shadows are like the demonic that would wisp in, are you with me? The dark. And when this guy begins to lead, and I'm sure he's not the only one, but you're a bit of a pioneer in that. Pioneer, come on. What you do, you've got the ability and the anointing to deal with the shadows, the dark side. And I love it. That worship this morning, I know there was a whole bunch of men out there, which is fantastic. The harmony was great in union and unity. But there's a shadow boxer. But the Lord wouldn't want to call you just that. He calls you his champion. And I don't know what Frank Bruno did, but he did a lot. Interesting geezer, wasn't he? Yeah, and maybe you've got a humor like he has. I don't know. But you're a champion. Go for it, Frank. Go for it. His name's not Frank. Don't start calling him Frank, please. Yeah. Okay, finally, there's some books over there to your right or straight over there. And it's written by my wife's husband. Isn't that interesting? Oh, c'est moi! Oh. It's great to give it to somebody for a present on their birthday or Christmas. It's called Rejection Hurts. I wrote a smaller one years ago, but this is the definitive edition. And I'd love to go home tomorrow evening or afternoon with none left. The thing is, the thing is, they're quite reasonable. And they're only a tenner. That's not bad. They should have been a lot more. And for you, there's no postage. Isn't that good? So there they are. Have a little look. But I feel like those... Postage free. There's something about it that just might touch some of you. Or you might know somebody. It's always, well, it's not me, it's someone else. Well, I want to teach you a Hebrew word about that. Do you want to know a Hebrew word? Yeah. All right, say after me. Ba.
Ba.
Lo.
Lo.
Ne.
Ne.
Say it quick.
Baloney.
Yeah, of course, baloney. Yeah, oh, come on. And that's baloney, because maybe God's speaking to you. So here it is. Let's get rid of the lot of them, shall we? I'll chuck that over there or something. I don't know what to do. Oh, I got all these notes. Yeah, I do know what. It's interesting, because I was thinking about this time In fact, really yesterday I was still wondering whether I'd ever get here, to be honest. But we are here. And in our vulnerability, we're trusting God, aren't we? Yes. Yes. And it's only 250 miles back home. Not far, really, is it? It flipping is, yeah. Birmingham was quite clear. I wonder why. It's just amazing. There's something I want to share with you. And I'll just read the scriptures, Joshua 3. I'll sort of paraphrase it a bit. Or maybe I won't. Chapter 3, verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, and where they camped. After 3 days, they prepared themselves. There's something about 3 days that I cannot get into. When you say after 3 days, the third day, what do you think of? I've given you the clue. Resurrection. You can do a study of all the 3 days through the scripture. It's classic. Well, they were prepared for resurrection because they were going into death and up into resurrection through the Jordan, which is wonderful. And they gave instructions to the people. And we do need instructions occasionally, don't we? Yes, you said. So when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. That's the verse. You, we, individuals, church, we've never been this way before. And that is how it is nationally or internationally with this virus. I've got no idea what's going to happen. But we've never been this way before. And I want to apply it into you as church, maybe individuals as well, but certainly as a corporate body. God is on the move. And I think you're in transition, whether you know it or not. And I'll develop this scripture a little bit and then go into one more story if we've got time. Because there's something here for you. It's only up past 11 anyway, so it doesn't matter. No, because I just asked the clock to go back 20 minutes. And, well, you got me on late. So is it time for this transition? And I don't want to hang around in my comfort zone waiting for a rocket up the rumpa, do you? Rumpa is a special Norwegian word. Anybody speak Norwegian here? Rumpa. What do you think rumpa might mean? It's your bin. Yeah. I think God is doing something in the Church of Jesus. Whether this gives us great opportunity, what's happening at the moment, to talk about peace as was prayed and not fear and Jesus and all of that, maybe so. But I think we're in the process. And because I don't think at the moment we've come into the fullness of the promise of God. And what they were doing was going into a process which would lead them into the promised land or the land of promise. And we've all got those things. And I long, I mean, I talk about healing a lot and all the rest of it. My lower back had surgery, and that's why I walk funny. At least I can walk, which I wasn't able to. So I'm in a process, and I'd like God to heal me a bit more, wouldn't you? As well as yourselves. But I'm there, and I think, well, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony. And we go on. We go on. And it's not easy, is it? Let's be fair. That's not a lower lip, not easy. But I want to take hold of those words, not easy, and say, well, I'm in you, Jesus. So I'm trusting you day by day. And I speak to my leg and speak to the edema and all the lymphatic issues and everything else around my body. When you get a certain age, your body tends to react to certain things, doesn't it? It will not move the way you want it to sometimes. Well, I'm looking for resurrection one day, aren't you? I really am, because we'll come into the fullness. Why do the sons of God, why is, no, I've got the scripture wrong. There's a longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's fullness. And I'm looking forward to that. Maybe when heaven comes to earth, because we might go up, but we'll come back quick. This earth is going to be God's place, where the kingdom of God comes into earth and is all going to happen, isn't it? May your theology be changed. It's not rapture out the way where the world burns to hell. And we have a party up there, wherever up is. If you're in Australia, where's up? Is it down or up? You know, come on, go beyond that.
but he's coming back to earth. Hallelujah, with a ratatouille and a taramasalata. That's what we say. Ha, hi, say, hi, oh, and not hi, oh, hi, oh, etc. It is so important. So I want to get out my comfort zone in the rest of God and anticipate much, much more. And you know, God's not departed from us, but he's saying, you've not been this way before, guys, and that is important, I think, don't you? It's all to do with change. Constant change is exactly, and that is so important. And I've got a quote here, only fools and dead men don't change. Am I rude? I'm speaking to myself. You're just overhearing me, you know. And it might mean upheaval, but change is not an enemy when God's finger is on it. Because that group of people, a million plus, needed to come into the promise of God. And there was a problem. It was called Canaan. There were seven nations there, and probably 31 to 35 kings ruling in strongholds of cities. So you had 30-odd kings and seven nations to deal with. I mean, this isn't easy-peasy stuff, but our God was there and in charge. I don't know why I've got through page one so quick, but who cares? Isn't it good? So what I'm looking for is this, a flexible wineskin, because if the wineskin doesn't remain flexible, tell me what happens. Yeah, it gets hard and it bursts and we lose the wine. So it's being... You know, it's not, we've always done it this way before. I'm back to the Hebrew word balone. You know, I don't want to always do it. There's things going to happen because God is a God that changes and God is a God that brings new things to us. Is that right? Yeah. So let's deal with tradition and the old ways. Let's not be setting at the old ways, you know. I remember once I was saved at the Mount of Olives, Bristol. It was off Black Boy Hill, off White Ladies Road. It was up the top there. I think they've dealt with all of that, please, Lord. So, and it was a sort of an old Methodist chapel that became an AOG. I'll talk a bit more about that tonight because there's a big miracle that happened in the planting of that church with Stephen Jeffers, George Jeffers' brother. You've never, it blasts you. It's amazing. And what they did, they had this big notice board out, and there were hundreds of maybe more students that lived in the accommodation block across the downs up there in Bristol, and they walk by the church and go down a hill to the uni. Well, they had this big board with scriptures on, but even me as a newly saved boy, I couldn't understand them. Why? Because it was yea, verily, and all this business. It was back in the authorized version. So in the business meeting, where everybody brings their machine guns and machetes, you know, and everybody comes out of the wood, I said, could we change the translation? Well, I could have, you'd have thought I'd have sworn. They all got on to me, you know, and shot me down. I'm thinking, I want the kids to understand what the scripture says. Thus the word of God, no surrender. Well, 1611, what happened before that? You know, I think the word of God was probably written back there, AD 50 or whatever, don't you? Say something. Yeah. I like the Passion Translation, don't you? It is classic, Kaz, isn't it? It is so good. And we just got to be sensible about all of this. But that was a tradition that did not bless us. It didn't bless me, and we got nowhere. Well, I don't want to deal in sameness anymore. I want to move on. I really do. But where I'm moving on to is something rather interesting. You know, but command Joshua, says Jute 3. And encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land, which you will see. Joshua is a derivative of Jesus. Yeah. So in the chapter 1 of Joshua 1, it says three times, I can't remember, be strong and be encouraged. Now that's a word for us right now, today, in what's happening around. Let's be strong, let's be encouraged. I encourage you, it's there. Joshua 1:9, and I don't know where else. Be strong, because you're going to take possession. And I believe God wants us to take possession of his promises that he's made to us individually and corporately. And there's great principles. And it was time. Verse 2, after 3 days, they were all ready. And they had a real problem about this, as you'll see in a minute. And it says in verse 3, it probably says, follow the ark. I won't sing this Elvis Presley song that I know. I'll follow that dream. I want to follow the ark. Why? I want to go where he leads me. But he's leading the way, which is really important. And that is, you've not been this way before, but when you see the ark on the shoulders of the priests, the ark is Jesus, it's the Lord. When you see this, you know which way to go. In other words, when the road is rough and steep, cha-cha-cha, fix your eyes upon. That shows your age. And it's true, isn't it? So you've got to get into position. 3 days, obedience, go where the officers tell you. It's all in Joshua 3. Get yourself into position. Then you'll know which way to go because you've not been that way before. And then you'll keep a distance, but you'll follow the ark. In these days, we don't have to keep a distance from the Lord because the veil's been rent. Fantastic story it is, isn't it? It's absolutely amazing. And tomorrow, the Lord would do amazing things among you. May our tomorrows be our todays. I just want the Lord to do amazing things. To take up people like you and me. Good grief, Charlie Brown. Who are we? You know, I'm not a failure, but I failed. Frail. Bit weak. But his strength is made perfect in broken people. That's why I love the fact that our Mary came in with this phial of ointment. That was worth a lot of dosh. And she broke the lot over his feet. And the whole aroma, the anointing, filled the room. Let's move in our brokenness and release the perfume of God. Only comes out of brokenness. I don't like it either, but that's, I want to hold on to that and live in that way. Don't you? Yes, you all said. And the Lord would do amazing. It's an untrodden path, and we're into something. But as a church, and even in the whole Harvest Alliance network, there's something going to happen that's going to lead us much more into what we long for to happen. And how effective are we? Well, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Now, what happened? The priests had to put their feet into the Jordan. But the problem was, a few months later or earlier, it was only a few inches deep, or millimeters or centimeters, whatever they mean. I'm still in pounds and never mind. But it was in flood. The whole jolly river was in flood. That is not the time to pass across it. Just wait a bit, Lord. No, it's now. As they put their feet in, something happened. And as we move forward by faith, we can say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say it will. Mark 11, 23 or 4. It's true. And I say that to myself, to my body. Well, it's either that or going to doom and gloom. Aye, we're doomed. We're doomed. Well, I want to say buy one, get one free to that, don't you? You know what I mean. And that's him. So what happened? The blinking waters stopped. But it didn't stop and piled up like a dam there. It stopped back 25 miles back up the river at a town called, come on, Adam. Everything goes back to Adam. That's such a revelation to my heart. Imagine there's old Dave Parker walking with his little Scotty dog down the riverbank at the town called Adam. And the river's flowing nicely when suddenly a great big dam comes up. I bet he'd freak out and run away. Well, could he run? Yeah. But it was right back there. Now, what happened? Well, the priest went into the middle and all the people, I mean, there's a lot of people, as I said, they walked. And do you know what it says in here? They walked on dry ground. Now there's a miracle. How did that dry so quickly? Do you see? I think it's classic, don't you? God doesn't change. God is still reliable and certain forever. Hallelujah. And I look in the mirror and think, good grief. I don't color my hair, by the way. It is my color. People think I color my hair. It's a disgrace, isn't it? But I think, oh my life. But anyway, I'm going to say, I'm losing the plot here. I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus, for what I see.
I'm in Christ. I want his eyes to release compassion and life into people, don't you, etc., and his hands and all that sort. It's so important. Well, now here's the thing. Who was watching them cross the river? Who was watching the miracle take place before their eyes? I'll tell you who was watching them, the people of Jericho. Because the city of Jericho was close enough to the river for that lot to see what was going on. That put the spark up them, didn't it? Eh? Do you know what Jericho means? It means fragrance. And then walls need to come down to release the fragrance. And do you know what Zacchaeus means? Pure. Well, there's a message in there. Pure. Blooming tax collector. Blooming fraudulent thief. Isn't it amazing? He was an orphan-hearted boy, for sure, and a rejected one. It's in the book. Oh, it is too. They saw what happened, and that was the beginning of taking that city. It's transition. It's transition. Right, I got time. I've only been speaking for about 4 minutes. Yeah. I'm going just to talk a little bit about this, and then we'll go out for lunch. Matthew, where are you? Matthew 14. Page 966, Matthew 14. Jesus, verse, I don't know, about 13. Jesus heard what happened. Do you know what he heard? John the Baptist lost his head. And he went into the wilderness by himself. But the crowds followed him. How did they know? Was it through iPhone or email? There's something that I can't work out, that the crowd knew where he was all the time, and they followed him. And it's amazing. And it says, when Jesus saw them, the large crowd, it says he had compassion on them and healed their sick. I pray in Jesus' name for such a release of compassion. What does the Lord require of you? To love justice, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. Mercy and compassion. I pray that you will see a revelation about what mercy and compassion is. That is in your hearts. And I ask you, Lord, to let that erupt in the hearts of the sensitive and the insensitive with respect. That you might move with compassion. He healed them through compassion. Isn't that something else? Healed the blooming lot. I can't get over it. And then they approached him and said, they said, here, get rid of this crowd, Lord, because we've seen a restaurant up the road. There's only enough room for us, 12. You know, get rid of them. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. How many were there? No, there weren't. Matthew 14:21 says there were 5,000 men. Plus, isn't that interesting? 10, 12,000? Yeah. Isn't that interesting? There's a lot of them. Well, that happened. And that began to do something because he was in the wilderness. Things happen in the wilderness, but I don't want to stay in the wilderness. Miracles happen in the wilderness. You know, it's like Egypt was not enough. The wilderness was enough, but the promised land, the land of promise, is more than enough. So let's move forward through to Jordan into that. And that's where it was. And God has a purpose. You've not been this way before. Certainly those two that are getting married that are now talking to each other, and they're probably listening to me as well. Yeah. You've not been this way before, you two, have you? No. Good, glad about that. Anyway, I wish you could come and live with us, it'd be great. Anyway, never mind. You'd really see what we were like then. But it was a purpose. And Jesus said to them, immediately Jesus made the disciples to get in the boat and go. Because he was going to go up the mountain and pray. He compelled them. And there's a compelling thing that I think is in our hearts, whether we know it or not, as church and as networks and groups, that we're going to go into something more that God has for us. Remember the virus. You've not been this way before. There's something there for us to catch hold of because it's going to be a testimony to the grace of God. That's what I want it to be.
I do. We're not immune. Do you know what I think would be great? I would love healing to be on the same basis as forgiveness of sins, wouldn't you? In other words, we're all healed immediately. Not in the way it works, is it? Think about that. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, say it, spray it. I don't know what you do. Sometimes it's worked. Once I saw a dead man raised. Sometimes it works. I prayed for a dead child in my arms and the child was not raised. Now, what do you do about working that through? I got to trust Jesus and be obedient to go for it time after time. I don't heal them. I can believe. I can deal with the doubt. I can trust. I can respond to God. I can do all of that, but I can't heal. I got to trust him for that. Is that right? Yes. But keep going. It's so important. So off they went. And there he is up the mountain with his praying Jewish ways, you know, hands raised, head up, eyes open, going for it. When he looked down and saw this massive storm, didn't he? On the Sea of Galilee. And it was the middle of the night. He was praying all night. Flip me. Oh, I got silence. Is Leslie and Gerhardt listening to this? Oh, yeah. That's some Spanish friends. Yeah. Well, Leslie and Gerhardt, get moving in God. We do know them quite well. It's all right. That'll embarrass her. Oh, I want to say this to you. Remember, the Lord is your strength and your song, and he's become your salvation. The horse and the rider, your problems and your issues or circumstances have been cast into the sea. Move forward in Jesus' name. So there. Now, it seems like in Jewish culture there was a problem with water. They didn't like it. And this Sea of Galilee, has anybody been there? Is it beautiful? Sometimes the storms come up and it's like a demonic ferment of destruction. Do you know that bit? Well, that's what I've researched anyway. Some of the biblical writers, it was like an abyss, a fearsome place of darkness and chaos. And even the seasoned fishermen were a little bit apprehensive because some have recognized it as a symbol of hell. So they would fear the sea. It was alien and threatening and all that sort of thing. Well, the location was prone to violent storms. It could be nice for a bit, then suddenly, a bit like our lives, isn't it? We don't know what's coming. Who could understand what's happening with this virus? Where did it come from? China? Dead pigs? You know, there's bats. At the end of the day, I don't care. It's here. So it's all that, you know. Let's not get into shock and trauma about it. Let's move in a peace of God which passes understanding. Do you know what that does? That guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's in Philippians somewhere, isn't it? Just say yes. So conditions could change. So there they were. There they were. Absolutely amazing. And they were straining at the oars in Mark 6, a parallel story. They were at the fourth watch, which was between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, I was up at 4 o'clock this morning. I get TB occasionally, don't you? Tiny bladder. So one, if you get to a certain age, you get tiny bladder, don't you? Yeah. That's not rude, is it? That's fact. So I was flitting up at 4 o'clock. I did get back to sleep, thank goodness. It's not a nice time to be awake, is it, really? And they were struggling. They were really struggling, trying to row through this storm. And what the enemy will want to do in the midst of transition is come and try and hinder us getting across into the promise of God. And Jesus saw this. He would attempt to isolate. And I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the virus? We all might be isolated. Well, that's, you know, church is relational. Go on to Skype, go FaceTime, talk, phone. I don't know what you'll do. Or trust God and knock on door. I don't know. But I don't want division, do you? But the disciples were not getting anywhere. The storm was seemingly isolated them right in the middle. If they stop rowing, they go back. They kept on and weren't going anywhere. But you see, Jesus looked up and he walks from the top of the hill or the mountain, down a side, cross the beach, and blimmin' he keeps on walking on the water. Now, this is, I think like this, how did he do that? When he was walking on the water, did it just appear like like glass, you know? Does it sort of calm down? Or was he bobbing up and down like a cork on the waves? I don't know. I reckon he was bobbing up and down a bit, you know. So he's walking away across, which is something miraculous, which is amazing. Walking on the blooming sea, he suspended the laws of gravity by his unlimited power. Unlimited power, unconditional love, outrageous grace, good grief. That's what we're coming into. So important, isn't it? He showed his absolute dominance over the perils of the lake. Everything is under his feet. You read Song of Songs. He comes in skipping on the mountains. Everything under his feet. The last chapter, he's got her with him, the bride. And she's skipping on the mountains as well. That's where we're heading for. But I want to be like that now. Don't you? I really do. Well, that's Song of Songs 8:14 and things like that. Well, there he is, and it's misty and it's raining and cloudy and they couldn't see. But it says in Mark 6:48, he was going to pass them. He was walking on the water. He was going to overtake them. Could you believe that? And as he got to that place, somewhere in Mark 14, they suddenly saw this figure in the mist. Ah! It's a ghost! It's a ghost! You know, do something, like a cartoon film with a roadrunner. Whoosh, off they went. No, they didn't. They couldn't do it. They were troubled. It says they cried out in fear, literally a scream, a shriek of terror. Wouldn't you? To see this, that's a demon, you know. And immediately, Jesus said, be of good courage. There was a brewery in Bristol, wasn't there? Called Courage. Now, that's not the right thing I'm trying to say about it. It's gone now, anyway. It says, be of good courage. It says, it is I. It is I. No, it is I. Be not afraid. Now, the Greek says, anybody speak New Testament Greek? Right, use two words. I may not pronounce them right. Ego eimi. That means I am. What he shouted out, whatever is translated, he shouted out, I am! Well, that's enough for me, because when God said, Moses said to God, what's your name? I am that I am. You see, you can look at these seven I ams in John. Well, here's another one. I am! I am the eternal God. I am the one who is Lord of creation and nature, and he was showing it. It's absolutely amazing. When you encounter God, you need a personal reality. That's why Moses said, what's your name, mate? How are we doing for time? What time do we finish? What? I got about 5 minutes here, maybe six. Is that all right? Good. Do we need to find Jesus in the storm, or does he find us? Eternal, infinite, no limits. That Eagles song is quite good, isn't it? Take me to the... One more time. I want to go beyond the limits, don't you? I really do. I like the eagle bit, by the way. It's very prophetic to me. And, well, something happened with our Peter. I won't go into that so much. Except Jesus did not slap him and deck him for being fearful. Jesus actually commended him. Oh, Pete. Only little faith. That's all he needed, little faith, to get out. But, you know, it's the old story. He looked at the circumstances in the storm rather than the one that was overcoming. Interesting, really. And Jesus was quite away. As soon as he cried out, Jesus, help me, he's there at the speed of light, lifting him up. And they got into the boat. I wonder how they got into it. Never mind. But it was amazing. And John 6, this is another version. They received him into the boat, and it says immediately the boat reached the shore. Now, that's another miracle, because they were at least 2 or 3 miles away. Suddenly, whoosh, there. Isn't that something else? This is full of miracles. You know, talk about a speedboat. This was the speed of sound. Whoosh, straight there. Oh, I'd like to see that on DVD, wouldn't you? We're gonna see all these things, and we'll say? Didn't get that right, did I? You know, but it's going to be amazing. It really is. And where were they going? Well, we see transition with opposition and acceleration. Now, the easy prayer is accelerate, but I want to pray, Lord, even in opposition as we move forward and take ground, as you will do in Jesus' name, we need the grace of God. I want to live in unconditional love and outrageous grace in the opposition, because this is what's going to happen. That's not a doom and gloom word. It's going to get darker before it gets lighter and brighter. And in darkness, the light shines brighter, church, as a city set on a hill, which is amazing, isn't it? Just say yes. But where were they going? Well, they were going to a place in Matthew 14, 34 to 36. They were going to Gennesaret. Gennesaret, which means a fertile plain, a land of abundance. It was called the Garden of Riches or the Paradise of Galilee. They were heading for that. Hallelujah. Do you believe me? It was absolute fertility that, I'm quoting, that produced fruit for at least 10 months of the year. Oh, Lord. Any farmers here? Let it be so. Let it be so. Chris would like that, wouldn't he? Yeah, he really would. Now, what does it say? Now, let me just get back to this. If I can see it clearly. Yeah, not too bad. It says, when they crossed over at Gennesaret, and when, this is verse 34 or something, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. Well, they got on their iPhones, or did they send pigeons? I don't know what they did. But whatever happened created a massive crowd. People brought all. What does all mean? All. Yeah, all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the hem of his garment. That's the tzitzit, isn't it? It's the hem. You look at that word. What did the lady do with the issue of blood? Touched. If you read Psalm 133, the oil is flowing through the priest down. Where does it congregate most? On the hem. It's a priestly thing in the whole thing of what the garment they wore. There's another word besides tzitzit. I can't remember it. But they touched the hem and the edge of his cloak. And all. What does all mean? All who touched him were... I long for that day. We're moving towards the demonstration of the power of God. Touches his tassels. The word a miracles is diatsoso. We know what soso means. It's wholeness and healing and all of that. But the dia, this preposition, is like an intensity on top. So it's like a leper getting cleansed. No. This is the dia, a leper, as his nose grow, his ears grow. This is fullness of healing. Is it possible? Yes, because our Mary said all things are possible. All things are possible. With God, some things, nay, 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 thrice nay, all things are possible. And that is so important. And that's why this prophet called Mary, his mother, could sing and worship him. And I think there's something in there that is so important. Whoops, I've nearly finished. I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. So amazing miracles. The intensity was there, completely and totally restored as they touched the hem, which is great, isn't it? Right, final scripture. Ready? He is able to do immeasurably or abundantly more than we can ask or manage or imagine or think of, or even dream. Do you dream? Well, it's going to go beyond your dreams. He is. I do believe it. It could read, exceedingly abundantly, Mrs. Ooh, exceedingly. It's colossal. It's colossal. Now, here's a little snag. It says all that wonderful encouragement. He is able to do exceedingly and all that. Then it says, comma, according to the power that works in... We have a responsibility here. We can't sit back on our rumpers and just wait for it all to happen. But it's according to the anointing and the power of God, which is dunamis, isn't it? The energy of God. It's not just dynamite. It's the word can be dynamo, the consistency of living in life. There's the firecracker. With the energy of God, which is so... It's the inexhaustible fullness of God, far beyond what we can imagine or think of. But it's within us. Hallelujah. The indwelling spirit. God is able to do more, more, more. Large quantities, abundance. I believe that and receive it. And I'm saying, Lord, because I believe and receive, manifest it today. So I trust God for my own healing day by day. And I'm saying, Lord, manifest that. So I'll read it from the Amplified, shall I? Okay. And then we'll finish. Now to him who by the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask. I want to know what daring means. You dare? Now we could get into the flesh about all this and go mad, but there's something of God in daring. We got the word. We can go for it. Be resolute and determined and earnest. Chris's dad was called Ernest, and he was earnest about Bristol City, but never mind. We'll forget about that. Face danger. Run a risk. We live in risky living, as we'll know in the next few months. I want to dare to believe God. You know, Wigglesworth said, you don't need to lay on hands all the time. If the Spirit of God is with you, you don't need to lay hands on. Isn't that something else? I thought that, well, that's Wigglesworth for you. It's coming under fire and going for broke. It's defying. It's standing up. It's throwing down the gauntlet, worshipping warrior. It is. It's not just in. There's a lot of you here. It's time to trust God. Goodbye.